donut shop this morning that had
no donuts.
It might have had, and there was three dudes ahead of us in line.
Yeah, they may have taken all the donuts.
8 to 10 donuts in the whole place.
Exactly. They had a lot of racks for donuts.
That were empty.
But, yeah, they were empty.
Apparently, people get up early in Cleveland.
I guess so. Either that or
we were late to the party.
Ill-equipped for the party. 410-583-1057. Let's go out to the phone lines real quick. Let's go to Annapolis and get Bubba. Bubba was at the Bowie Bay Sox game last night. What's up, Bubba?
Hey, Rob. How you doing? Hey,
doing guys. Well, my friend.
What did you think of that form of that pitch?
It was enough. First of all, it wasn't enough zip to the ball, and he threw it up high
right.
to the right.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
Not enough zip. Not enough zip, Bubba.
You know what? He threw it like Brian Roberts threw from second to third. No zip on it. Rob lost his zip.
Plus, I was flexing right down the middle with a lot of zip in it. But
you know what? Hey, Bubba, I threw it high and outside to a lefty because you know what my chief concern was. You know, right?
What?
My chief concern was not to short hop this pitch. There's no way that I could come on air on Monday short not making it to the catcher. So that's why I was high. Now, if I had another pitch after that, I think I would have made an adjustment. But my chief concern for that pitch was not short hopping it.
Hey, Bubba, you know what I told him before you got on? I said, you know, if you throw it to the backstop, probably be on like those funny plays, you know, on ESPN. You make the top 10 list. So I said,
not
be careful.
So top 10.
He should have had some practice before he was doing the ball. He had a lot
I didn't.
Practice.
Well, plus I tried to put in his head, you know, the ground's wet down there, you know, wet
yeah.
ball.
He was messing with me, Bubba. He tried to get in my head, man.
All right.
Tried to get in my head. He had a good time, though? All right, buddy.
Who won the game, Bubba?
We lost 5-1.
Ah.
Okay. That's all right.
All right. Thanks a lot, my friend. 410-583-1057. You know, we can't forget to mention that the Ravens hit their first practice in front of their fan base on Saturday. I know Stacy Brown was
there
as well. I was there. And I want to ask the fans what you thought of the team so far. I thought, you know, I saw some things. It was weird, though, and I had someone text me this. It was weird. Billy Cundiff tried a 65-yard field goal, missed it, and got booed. You can't get booed on that.
Well, it's Billy Cundiff.
I know. And it didn't help the fact that Justin Tucker made a 62-yarder with some distance
to
spare.
Here's the thing, Rob, is the fans, this is the first time they've seen Billy Cundiff since they all had their trips ready to go to Indianapolis
for
the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
So they are still very upset with Billy Cundiff. So the first time they see Billy Cundiff on the field, you knew that was coming. Wait till the preseason game when there's 70,000, Rob.
But I don't think they really booed him. And it wasn't loud, but they didn't boo him until he missed it. So you can't boo a guy for missing a 65-yarder. Right,
wait till he misses one in the preseason.
You think he will?
Will he miss one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like a chip shot, though. If he misses a 60-yarder, I'm not booing him for missing a 60-yarder.
It's about 30% you make that anyhow.
Yeah.
But – no, I think he'll get booed. Would I boo him? Yeah. Yeah, I'm cheering for Tucker.
Yeah, you'll boo him anyway, Vinny. You don't like – I like
Tucker just because he's – like they say, I root for whoever's playing the Dallas Cowboys.
You root for whoever's ever competing against Billy Cundiff.
Yes.
Why are you like that?
Because he missed. And I've had it too many times with kickers, man.
So you think he should have been – he should have had the same fate that Lee Evans had by not wearing purple this year.
Well, here's the thing about it, though, is you don't cut him till you replace him.
And Lee Evans was already replaced. Lee Evans was traded for Torrey Smith. They didn't think Torrey Smith was going to be ready.
Right, and Torrey became the guy. So, yeah, I mean, you can't get rid of Cundiff until you've got him replaced because you don't want to kill the team. So, but he's on a very short leash in my mind. And they're going to put pressure on him in these preseason games. And he's got to get some pressure. He's got to make a pressure kick because you've got to know going into that Monday night Cincinnati game that if he walks out there to win a game, you'll feel pretty good about it.
I never know that. 410-583-1057. Text us at 843-326. Behind enemy lines, starting off in Cleveland and joining us from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Mary Kay Cabot. What's going on, Mary Kay?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you? We're actually right here in your backyard.
Looking forward to seeing you guys. We've been a little busy around here lately.
Yes.
Been kind of crazy, so I'm sure you're up on all the Browns news.
Well, Mary Kay, what do you think of the new owner? And was that a surprise? Did Mike Holmgren, did anybody know that this sale or probably this negotiation was going on?
Yeah, they knew it was going on. They had known since probably sometime in June when news first broke. Howard Eskin out of Philadelphia on June 7th reported that the Browns were one of the teams that Joe Banner was involved in talking to. So, yeah, by June, I would have to say that Mike Holmgren, when the Browns came out and said the Browns are not for sale, in the same way that the Jaguars last year, I think, came out and said the Jaguars are not for sale right before the deal closed, which is probably, you know, what they kind of have to say to calm fears until someone signs something on the dotted line. But, yeah, so Mike knew this was going on, and I would have to say that other staffers knew shortly thereafter. So weeks before Randy actually put out his first statement, they knew what was going on.
What type of owner will this guy, is he going to be more hands-on? Because Randy Lerner just kind of, I think, lived in New York and disappeared.
He was babysitting, yeah.
You know, Randy showed up a lot. He watched practice, but he was very quiet. He shunned the spotlight. He got to know players very well because he loved the players, and he had really good relationships with a lot of players. But he was not really hands-on in terms of the day-to-day stuff. That's why he hired Mike Holmgren. He was not visible. He was not out front. I mean, this guy almost is like a mini Jerry Jones type of, you know, I mean, just in terms of putting himself out there and wanting to be visible and wanting to, you know, be really involved. You know, I really think it's going to be fabulous for the city of Cleveland and for the Cleveland Browns. Everything this guy touches seems to turn to gold. I think he's on a mission to turn this into a winning franchise, and you know what? I'm sold. I believe he's going to do it.
All right, Mary Kay, I like the first question that he asked Mike Holmgren. Can Brandon Whedon play?
So we're asking you, can Brandon Whedon play?
Brandon Whedon can certainly throw the football, I can tell you that. And Brandon Whedon has been looking a lot better over the last 3 days in you know, situational drills, red zone drills, goal line drills, and things like that. But as we all know, the true test won't come until you start to get that pressure and that heat on you. And you have to make very, very quick decisions. And, you know, I'm sure they're going to have to sort of simplify things for him in the beginning and rely a lot on the running game because, you know, the game's going to move fast for him in the beginning. It's going to be moving fast. And he's coming along really, really well. And it seems like, I mean, I know he's got the arm, but there's so many other things that go into playing this game, and we just don't know yet for sure how that's going to work out.
Here with Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Let's go to the other offensive weapon that you guys drafted this year, and that's out of the SEC, Trent Richardson. A listener text, can he be one of the better running backs, if not in the NFL this year, perhaps in the next year or two?
Oh, I absolutely think so. I mean, you know, you can just see the shiftiness, the quickness, the explosiveness.
Well, I think he's phenomenal. I think he's absolutely phenomenal.
Oh yeah, he looks great out there on the field, even in these drills. And you know, I can tell that he just cannot wait to get into a game and show people what he can do. And he's just got so much desire and passion and the work ethic to get it done. So he's got all the ingredients to be a superstar running back in the NFL.
Mary Kay, how about last year the Cleveland Browns led the league in drops, pass drops. How has the receiving core looked so far in training camp?
You know, better. They have definitely looked better. Greg Little should be a lot better in his second year. Muhammad Nassiquah was not even much of a factor last year because he had a broken foot coming into training camp, and then he suffered concussion syndrome in the middle of the season, and that was really quite a setback for him. So he looks fantastic, I think, this camp. I think he's really ready to step it up, take it to the next level, and then he's getting some good competition. Josh Gordon's coming in. He's feeling his way. He's learning. You know, there's going to be some bumps in the road for him because he's a little bit rusty, and, you know, he's got a lot to learn in a short period of time. But he's coming along, and then Travis Benjamin. Boy, Travis Benjamin looks very good in this camp, very fast, and he's catching the ball well, and it looks like he's running some sharp routes. He's actually developing a nice little chemistry with Colt McCoy because they're working together more. But the receiving core looks much better than it did last year.
You know, I'll say this. You know, I thought Nassiquah was going to be a presence after the 2010 season, so it's good to hear you say you think he's coming back because last year was very frustrating for him.
It really, really was. And, you know, he spent last offseason, working out all offseason with Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, all these great receivers to try to see what it would take to get to the next level. And he was ready to put that into action, and then he broke the foot. And, you know, when you miss training camp, especially, you know, when there's a lockout and then you miss training camp, it just, you know, he was just behind the eight ball right from the start. So I really think he's ready to step it up, get out of the 30s. I asked him that the other day. You're ready to get out of the 30s? He's never caught more than, I think it is, 36 passes in any of his first three seasons. So he's definitely ready to do that, and I think people will see some good things from him this year.
Hey, Mary Kay, when we're at practice today, who are some of the surprises that we need to keep an eye on?
Well, some of the guys that you're going to have to look at today are the linebackers because of what's going on. Chris Gokong now out for the year with an Achilles. So some of the young linebackers are really going to have to step it up. So you're going to want to watch number 50, James Michael Johnson. There's days that he has flashed in this camp, and he's going to have to flash a lot more. One day he had two interceptions, and he stood up Brandon Jackson on the goal line in one morning. So he needs to come up and make big plays like that. And Emmanuel,
so that's the rookie out of Nevada.
Yes, he's out of Nevada. You know, high motor guy, just a real active guy. So they're going to really be able to use him now for sure. And Kaluka Mayava, he's going to have to step up too. And it's really a huge hit to the offense to lose Chris Gokong. He's just a really solid, strong linebacker. And, you know, they still might be without Fujita for some of those first three games or all of those first three games. And so watch some of the linebackers. And in terms of, let's see, are there any other? Oh, Josh, you know what? Josh Cooper is a sort of a surprise receiver in camp. He was Brandon Whedon's teammate in college, and he just looks really good out there. He's a rookie free agent, but, you know, he's kind of making a case for himself in this camp. So, you know, you'll want to keep an eye on him. Then there's some young defensive backs that are making some noise. Buster Screen, James Dockery, even Dimitri Patterson. I mean, remember, Vinny, we talked about Dimitri Patterson, and we disagreed on him. But you'll look out there, and you'll see that he's making plays, and they have kind of high hopes for him this year, too.
There she is, Mary Kay Cabot. Mary Kay, we'll see you in about 4 hours.
Sounds great.
Is it start at 2:30, right, Mary Kay?
Actually, 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
We'll be there
with bells on.
I'll stop by and say hello.
All right, Mary Kay.
Okay, take care.
Yep, bye-bye.
I don't know about bells. Looking for a great deal? Log on to 105.7 The Fan.